Morning, everybody. Good morning. Excellent. We have lots of people. Isn't it good to celebrate today together? And we have lots of children, which is really good. Jacob is the liveliest in terms of physical speed. I tell you what, Shirley's got her legs on her, she has. She got down those steps to get him out the door faster than I've ever seen her move before. So well done, Shirley. I don't know where you are. You've gone for a lie down, I think. She's not here. No, she's outside on the door. So thank you to Jackie, Shirley, Mark, and anybody else who has sort of reined him in. Jacob and Seth, who's here, we're so pleased to have you. The last time you saw Jacob, he was about this big. Seth has been before, and Nikki's come all the way from Zimbabwe, not been here for 2.5 years. So we're so pleased. Can we give a round of applause, Nikki? I'm really pleased to see my family here. I didn't know were coming all the way from South Brent. And Sophia and Jesse are fully involved. And we've got Connie, and we've got Alana Faye, and Summer Ray hiding. And no doubt others may appear on the balcony at some point during the service. But it's thank you for coming to this special day. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the freedom you've given us to meet here today. We thank you for the inspiration that you've given us that we should come today. Lord God, in your mercy and grace, meet with us. Show us your face. Speak to us, inspire us, and send us out rejoicing. Amen. Through this Easter time, we have been trying to enter into the story. And the way that we've had in our services, times and readings and different things, we've looked to enter in. Now, last Sunday, we remember Jesus coming into Jerusalem on the back of a little donkey. I went to a Baptist minister's cluster meeting the other day, and they were sharing Easter tips. And one of the tips from the pastor of Taymouth Baptist Church was, get a donkey. Never fails. Get a donkey. Someone made a big donkey for them, felt covered, 5 foot wide. Every time the donkey comes out, you can't lose with a donkey. And it was last Sunday, the sort of donkey took over a bit. The donkey, I think, always does. Jesus came on the back of a donkey into Jerusalem. And the crowds, and particularly the children, and that's why we're so pleased to see children, and to hear children, which is great, they were singing and shouting praise to God. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus' enemies saw all the crowds flocking out to see Jesus, and they thought they had lost. But what happened next? What happened to Jesus after that great day, his triumphal entry? He was betrayed by one of the 12, one of those who'd been with him for 3 years, eating with him, walking with him, sleeping alongside him with all the others, healing with him. He was taken away by an armed mob. He was beaten up. He was accused of all sorts of things that he hadn't done. Although innocent, he was handed over to be flogged, whipped, tortured, mocked, stripped, and nailed onto a cross. My daughter Maria said that they watched The Miracle Maker with the children this morning. The most wonderful animated story of Jesus. If you've never read it, let me know, and we've got a video. It's just the most beautiful thing. But Maria just realized that the children hadn't seen until that moment how Jesus died. Sophia knows that Jesus died to take away our sins so we could get rid of all the bad stuff, so we could be in heaven. She knows that, but she hadn't seen how he died. He was crucified, humiliated in front of everyone on a cross, outside Jerusalem on a Friday. the day before the Passover festival. Children, would you like to join me at the front? Would you like to come on up here? I'd like you to help us come into the story. Come on to the front. Come up to the front. Come just to here. Seth, do you want to come up front as well? You don't have to. Anybody, you don't have to. This is freedom. Right. Oh, I know. It's so wonderful. I've got so many. Jesus had been crucified on the cross. When all the people who had gathered to witness sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, and this is going to be you and you, all those who knew him, including the women who'd followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. So let's just stand and just look at the cross.
Yeah. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and placed it in the tomb cut in a rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment.
Right. Could you come with me? You've watched what's happened. You've seen where Jesus was buried. Now we're going to go home. Let's go and sit over here. And this is our home, okay? So come over here, all the children, you all come over here. We're going home. The women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Joanna and Salome, were there when Jesus died on the cross. They saw his broken, bloody body taken down from the cross and put in the tomb in the rock. They wanted to honour Jesus, to express their love for him, and the only way left, to anoint his body with spices. So they went home and prepared them. But they couldn't go back to the tomb that night or the following day, because it was the Sabbath, a day of rest, when you weren't allowed to do any work. So Jesus' body was left alone, wrapped in linen cloths, alone in the dark on Saturday. But what happened next?
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. When they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words.
So what happened? You tell me what you just said, Sophia.
that I'm alive.
He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. We've come to a garden. There's beautiful flowers all around us. We've come to the garden. But Jesus is no longer in the tomb. Can you see that picture up there? Instead of a cold, dark tomb, Jesus has come alive. At some point, before even the women got there, the stone was rolled away, and Jesus was alive. Thank you, children. You can go back to your families now. He's alive. He's alive. Exactly. He's not here. He is risen. Just what he said would happen has happened. And so now we can worship the risen Jesus. I know you've been waiting. So when's the first song coming? I know you're waiting for it because you want to sing and declare the praise of God. Do make the most of instruments and banners, adults and children. Last Sunday, we said, give it some welly, because the children gave it some welly on the original Palm Sunday, and we're allowed to give it some welly today. Some of you, you may be want to just be quiet in the corner and sit down and relax, and that's fine. Others want to stand and dance. Some want to rattle an instrument. Some just want to gaze in wonder, love, and praise. In this time of it's an extended time of worship. It's our main focus of our service today. It's our worship. Just enjoy this time with the Lord. Do come and get what you need.
Death, love and fun, Christ has come.
Worship, to praise you. You are the risen Lord Jesus. And at your feet we fall, mighty risen Lord.
I am He that liveth. you gathered us here today to worship you,
to give you our hearts to the living one. Release a spirit of worship amongst us, I pray. Amen.
Believe in our heart that you are the Son of God. then we have your spirit, Lord, and that spirit is joined back to God. We can pray direct to God, not in the Old Testament when they had to stand back and the priest went in, Lord. We have direct contact with you to God. And I don't know why the Lord laid this on my heart, but if there's anyone here that is puzzled when us Christians talk about being born again, how can we be born again? We're not physically born again. It's just that our spirit, through Jesus, is joined back to God. And we're not perfect. It doesn't mean that us Christians are perfect and we don't do wrong, because we do. We sin, because we live in a sinful world. But if we go to Jesus and say, sorry, I hurt someone's feelings today, sorry for the words I have spoken, then it goes to Father God. And he forgives us. And that's all it means. And I beg of you today, if you've not got to that point where you believe and truly believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, please go up to one of the elders in the church and they will just talk to you. They won't judge you. They'll just talk to you and help you. Praise God that you do that today.
Yes, sir. Amen.
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 We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. No matter what that will say, just thank you, Lord, because you are our Savior.
Thank you, Lord.
You are our Lord and our King.
Thank you, Lord.
We just thank you, Lord, for your arrival. You came into the world to save us. And we thank you, Lord, for the service this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the praise that we have to give. Lord, your praise goes on and on. And we just thank you, Lord, for the love and the care that you have for each and every one.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I've got a question to ask. Who's had an Easter egg so far today? Who's received an Easter egg? A few hands. Who's eaten an Easter egg already today? Oh, Claire! Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? This is... That's right, Sophie, you can put your hand. This is not a bribe, but it is a promise. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and there's 9. So everyone's got one. Everyone's got one. And the next youngest person that was looking at me just then, a bit disappointed, might get one as well. So, Easter eggs. What do you think is inside this egg?
Chocolate.
You think there's chocolate inside. What do you think, Sophia? You think there's chocolate inside?
Cream.
This egg has got foil on the outside. It's made of chocolate. But inside there is...
Cream.
Nothing. Why is that? Why is that a helpful thing? What was empty today, 2,000 years ago? We went up to the garden, and look, yeah, the cross, well, you're right, the cross was empty. Look, there it is on the side there in the picture. The cross was empty. Yes, Summer A. The tomb, the burial place. Do we don't use tomb at any other time than Easter, do we? The tomb, the burial place, was empty. Jesus' body that had been laid there on Friday had stayed there on its own all Saturday, was no longer there. He's risen from the dead. He's ascended into heaven, and we've worshipped him, and we will always worship him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Good Friday, we celebrated 2 days ago as Victory Day, when Jesus won the victory for us over sin and Satan. He chose to give up his life, taking our sins upon himself, so that we might be set free from sin, all of it. And we've been set free from the power of Satan, the devil, to accuse us of our sin, because it's gone. He's got no hold on us anymore. Jesus won the victory, but there was another victory that was needed. There was another enemy to defeat, which is the last enemy. Quietly spoken, we need it louder.
Death.
Death is the last enemy. That's what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians. If Jesus had stayed dead in the tomb, his enemies would have won. The religious leaders would have been able to rule the people, and we'd have no protection against Satan's attacks. And as Paul says, we would still be in our sins, separated from God. Death that came into the world through the sin of Adam in that Garden of Eden, it had to be destroyed. And it could only be destroyed by someone who themselves was not under the curse of death. It had to be someone who was innocent, choosing to die and trusting God to raise him from the dead. And this was Jesus. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Now Jesus is alive, and we all can share in this victory over death when we put our faith in him. It says in Paul's letter to the Romans, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead, all those who put their trust in Jesus will be raised from the dead. We are made alive by the same power that made Jesus alive. We share in his resurrection and in his blessings. I've just written down here 4 blessings that Jesus received. Jesus escaped from death and is alive forever. So do we escape from death and live forever. Jesus received a new, glorious, imperishable body. He was as he always was, but with the scars, with the marks. Jesus received a new, glorious, and imperishable body, and so do we. So do we. Those of you at the moment, who's got a perishable body that they're feeling at the moment? Come on, be honest. Look at them. Look at them. Just have a good look. For those watching, listening on the recording, there's a lot of hands up. In heaven, we receive a new, glorious, imperishable body. Hallelujah. Jesus sat, was raised to take his seat in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And so do we. And in fact, God says that in Christ we are already seated in heavenly realms today. Jesus received his inheritance as his reward for his obedience. So do we. We have a glorious inheritance kept in heaven by God, ready for when Jesus returns. Just before Lazarus was raised back to life by Jesus, Jesus said these words to his sister Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Now, what does it mean, never die? If we say very quickly, yes, I believe that, have we heard what it said? Whoever believes in me will never die. But what does that mean? These bodies will wear out. We celebrated the life of Tony on Wednesday because he has died. His perishable body has perished. What does God mean? What does Jesus mean when he says, "Whoever believes in me will never die"? Isn't it wonderful when God tells you what he's going to say in the sermon before it comes? He gives you a bit of confirmation, just as it helps me. I don't know about it helps you. These bodies will wear out, but when we are born again by the Spirit of God, as we put our faith in Jesus, we become spiritually alive. We truly are born again with eternal life that will never end. Tony's body may have died, and we thank God for it, and we thank God for him, but he is now fully alive because he was born again, and his eternal life can never end because Jesus has beaten death. If Jesus had stayed dead, there would be no resurrection for us, no eternal life for us. But because he's alive, we're alive. Oh, good. We're almost half Pentecostal then. Let's have it again. Jesus is alive, therefore we're alive. Amen. Wonderful. People think it's a different church when there isn't this one. Our eternal life starts here on earth when we put our faith in Jesus. It starts here. It doesn't start when we die. It starts now. And it will never end. When our perishable bodies die, we go to a new place and live in a new place prepared by Jesus for us in heaven. And we receive new imperishable bodies. Amazing. I don't know what they're going to look like, but we will recognize each other. And we will run. I mean, sure, I saw you running to catch Jacob. It was superb. And I was joking as you heard me. But we will run. We will fly. I'm looking forward to flying. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to fly in heaven. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortal. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. We see the victory now, but that's its complete fulfillment. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, indeed. We have victory over sin and Satan. We have victory over death. All because of what happened 2,000 years ago today. Jesus is alive. He has won the victory over death, and the fulfillment, the completion of that victory comes when you and I, all who put their faith in Jesus, are taken with him to be with him in heaven forever. We'll all go there at the same time. We'll all go there at the same moment. will all arrive together. Hallelujah. And that begs the question, how should we then live? In the light of this glorious news, this wonderful truth, this precious living hope, how should we then live? What is our response to all this? Well, that was a nice service on Sunday. I'll go home now. Go for a walk. We've got a nice dinner. How should we live? Paul carries on straight after those verses we've just heard from his letter to the Corinthians. He says this, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Are we going to do that? Let's do that. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we want eternal life with you. We want eternal life, real life, deep life, complete life, fulfilling life, abundant life, now. And that desire is from you. And the life comes from you. Lord, we put our faith in you for forgiveness and the gift of eternal life. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might be born again to a living hope. Children of God, adoring their Father, adoring the Son, adoring the Spirit, forever, starting today. Lord, help us to stand firm. Help us not to be moved away from our faith in you, not to drift away. Help us by this same Holy Spirit to give ourselves fully to your work. Thank you for the reassurance, the promise that nothing we do for you is ever wasted, however small, however much it didn't seem to work out. Thank you that none of it is wasted. All of it will be part of your harvest. Amen. Just before we finish our service, we've got some work to do. Give yourselves fully to the Lord's work. That's what it says. And when we gather together, we pray. All of you who have faith in the Lord Jesus can pray in his name and see the world changed. And I've got a bit of paper here. This is a prayer diary from Christian Solidarity Worldwide. And it does what it says on the tin. It provides solidarity with Christians all over the world, supporting them, praying for them in various different ways. And so I'm just going to give a couple of verses from Scripture for us to pray for others this morning. This is work that will reap a harvest. You won't be able to see it, but it will. This week we celebrate the most remarkable and miraculous turn of events. When the path that led to destruction and despair, the path that led the Son of God to the cross, did a complete U-turn and instead brought healing, hope, joy, and the promise of eternal salvation to all who belong to him. We're going to pray for those who face injustice because of their faith, for those who find themselves in seemingly hopeless situations, who feel abandoned, who suffer as Jesus did in his darkest hour. May the glory of Christ's resurrection shine forth in their lives today and break through all the sorrow and despair. May they know that he truly is, and they, in their turn, will also be risen. To start with, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, let's pray for those who are forced to flee their homes or hide away because they fear the authorities. Meet with them, risen Lord, just as you met with your disciples who'd hidden themselves away. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Let's pray for those who find themselves despairing due to the injustices they face. Reassure each one, Lord, risen Lord, their hope is never ever in vain, just as you reassured your followers on the road to Emmaus. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. We pray for those whose suffering has caused them to doubt the possibility of change. Dispel their doubts, risen Lord, as you did for Thomas, and remind them that you can turn the seemingly impossible into reality. Woman, why are you crying? We pray for those who mourn at the graves of their loved ones, who have lost their lives on account of the faith they profess. Comfort them with your healing presence, risen Lord, just as you comforted Mary at your tomb. Peace be with you. We pray for all those who face any form of injustice or suffering because of their faith. If there are particular people that you have in mind at the moment who need the peace of the Lord, do give their names to the Lord. Lord, we pray that you would give your peace to each one, just as you offered your peace to the disciples. Amen. I mentioned that we have these gifts for our children that are here with us, and we've got one for everybody, which is great. We have some other wonderful gifts. Does anybody know where these flowers came from? Apart from the people who dug them up. They've come from our garden. And they've come from the patch of the garden where we don't want them. And someone had the great idea, let's dig up what is in the way and instead make it a blessing. So thank you to all those who've done this. What I'd invite you to do after the service is come up. Come up to the cross and to the garden, the death and the resurrection, and take one of these as your reminder that Jesus is alive. Obviously, there aren't enough for everybody, but almost. There's a lot here. So don't think, I'll leave it to someone else. Do come up. There's lots here. And there'll be one for every household, I'm sure. There's plenty. God has a habit of multiplying things where there doesn't appear to be very much. So they'll be fine. And lastly, we have some wonderful storybooks, quizzes, drawings, activity books. So again, if you've not had one of these already, I know there's some who haven't. These are going to be, I'll be outside with these afterwards.
Stephen, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Come.
As we were worshipping earlier on this morning, I just had the real sense from the Lord that he wanted me to say to you on behalf of him through my voice. He has been blessed with your worship this morning. And he wants you to continue that worship and that love towards him as you walk daily with him. He has been blessed with your worship and love. Thank you.
Feel free to stand if you'd like to for our last hymn, Thine Be the Glory. Shepherd of the sheep. May he equip you with everything good for doing his will. May he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. Amen.